Two of our stories today prompt a question. What is the true substance of happiness? For nearly five decades, Marcy Carpenter has found an answer among the stacks at the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library in Seattle, a public institution now threatened by state budget cuts. That's where she first encountered the poetry of Robert Frost. It was this really liberating experience, she recalls. That kind of freedom resonates with Mia Hootie, too. As a new mother, the career-driven Finn found her way through an emotional crisis by practicing gratitude. It's not that you have to be joyful all the time, she says. You can't see the stars if it's light all the time. It's an inner sense that you can be happy no matter the circumstance. It's Thursday, July 31st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The Federal Reserve left its key interest rate unchanged. It did so for the fifth time this year, brushing off repeated calls from President Donald Trump for a cut. The Fed's decision Wednesday leaves its short-term rate at about 4.3%, where it has stood after the central bank reduced it three times last year. Chair Jerome Powell has said the Fed would likely have cut rates already if not for Trump's sweeping tariffs. Mr. Powell and other Fed officials say they want to see how Mr. Trump's duties on imports will impact inflation and the broader economy. Two Fed governors dissented in favor of a cut. UCLA will pay a $6 million settlement over protests. The plaintiffs, three Jewish students and a professor, said the university allowed pro-Palestinian protesters in 2024 to block their access to classes. The Trump administration joined the lawsuit in March. The settlement marks the first time a U.S. judge has ruled against a university over last year's demonstrations against Israel's war in Gaza on college campuses. The university said it was committed to combating anti-Semitism. It had argued that protesters, not the university, had blocked the students' access. Also, India launched an earth-mapping satellite. The $1.3 billion mission, aided by NASA, will help forecasters and first responders stay one step ahead of floods, landslides, and other disasters, scientists said. The satellite will survey the same locations twice every 12 days, teasing out changes as small as a fraction of an inch. Among its measurements are melting glaciers and ice sheets and forest and wetland disruptions. The satellite lifted off for its three-year mission from India on Wednesday. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Growing global outrage over the hunger crisis in Gaza has many asking if Israel had a deliberate policy of starving civilians. Israelis say that was never the case, but an ignorance of Palestinian suffering allowed an inconsistent government policy to lead to a calamity. Contributors Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, for the Monitor. The president has recently touted a trade deal with the EU, strong second quarter growth, and a new stream of tariff revenue coming into the U.S. Treasury. But the overall economic outlook is uncertain. Linda Feldman reports from Washington for the Monitor. Braille and talking book libraries are a lifeline for people who are blind. But budget cuts mean these services face an uncertain future. How are staff working to help patrons stay connected to reading, education, and daily life. Hannah Gucka reports from Boston for The Monitor. Finland has been ranked the world's happiest country for years, but that doesn't mean Finns are a smiling, perky people. Rather, Finnish happiness points to something else, a contentment and reassuredness that few others can match. Mark Sappenfield reports from Helsinki for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on the heart-to-heart change in Afghanistan. In recent months, Afghanistan has been hit by what could soon be among the world's largest forced displacements of people in the 21st century. Nearly 2 million Afghans, primarily living in Iran for years to avoid repression at home, have been pushed back across the border. A total of 5.9 million Afghans could arrive from both Iran and Pakistan by the end of the year, the United Nations projects. What's more, international aid agencies say they can reach only about 10% of the deportees, a result of the hardline ruling Taliban restricting aid flows after taking power nearly 4 years ago. Yet, as this tragedy of mass deportation unfolds, a result of a surge in anti-Afghan attitudes in Iran and Pakistan, thousands of people inside Afghanistan are turning the tables on the Taliban with acts of compassion. They are volunteering hot meals, clothing, shelter, and transportation to deportees in ways that not only outshine the government's weak response, but also open a door for a dialogue with Taliban officials. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or not. I don't have much. But with the help of Afghans here and abroad, we manage. One volunteer, Fatima Razei, told Agence France-Presse. Another volunteer told AFP, "We have a duty to give what we can, no matter if it is a little or a lot." A resident of Herat province wrote on Facebook, "Tomorrow is Friday, a Muslim holy day. What a nice day to do a deed." According to the Diplomat news site, "We sincerely invite anyone who has a vehicle. Please bring it to help transport refugees from the border. It is rough days, but it is the least we can do." In a society living under authoritarian rule, these actions by ordinary people are a way to exercise rights denied by the Taliban. In particular, women are joining teams to provide aid. An example of this was set in 2022 after a large earthquake. Local women raised money to support survivors, which led to a discussion with local officials about girls' education. Many Afghans have pivoted toward more humanitarian or less overtly political work to improve their interactions with the Taliban, concluded a report by the Afghanistan Analysts Network. Many activists who are non-confrontational have made substantial progress in engagement with the Taliban, found a 2024 report by the Heinrich Bull Foundation in Germany. What has remained of the civil society in Afghanistan now is more sustainable, more grassroots, and more firmly rooted in Afghan realities. And one reality is Afghans opening their hearts to other Afghans. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we learn about God's endless love for us, we find tangible evidence of this love in our lives. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Good Luck Ajay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.